Hi, I'm David Farrier, a New Zealander accidentally marooned in America, and I want to figure out what makes this country tick. Now, a while back, we did a whole episode about bears and how the shaggy, hairy creatures help shape the experience of the American outdoors.
What we're talking about is a relationship. The bear is a thing that you can get your, literally, you can get your hands on, or it can get its claws on you. But we're also talking about nature as an agent in our lives.
In that episode, we briefly touched on the cultural icon that is Smokey Bear, an educational mascot who's turned into the longest-running PSA in American history. Somehow, a cartoon that existed outside of Disney ended up being one of the world's most recognizable fictional characters.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
Yeah. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Fire!
And America takes the image of Smokey seriously. His image is protected by US federal law. Pirate Smokey, deface Smokey, sell Smokey, and who knows what could happen to you. I wanted to learn more about how this bear got so big. Who made Smokey? What's Smokey doing? And why do millions of Americans care about a bear that's not even real? So, grab your shovel, ripped jeans, and weirdly muscular torso, and prepare to prevent some forest fires, because this is the Smokey Bear episode.
Flightless, flightless, flightless bird touchdown in America. I'm a flightless bird touchdown in America.
All right, so you're saying Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear.
We've already had a debate before we even started this because it's Smokey the Bear versus Smokey Bear.
Yeah, I always thought it was Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
It's Smokey Bear.
Are you sure?
There's never been a that.
I think
colloquially we inserted it because it sounds better. Smokey the Bear.
Is this like the Mandela effect?
It's Smokey Bear.
In order to maintain the correct rhythm, the writers added a the between Smokey and Bear.
Yeah. I get into this because
it's
the song.
Yeah.
So there's a song that I'm going to play in the documentary. And to make that song sound good, Smokey the Bear. But officially, on the website, all the official channels, Smokey Bear.
Wow.
It would be like calling you Monica the Padman. You know? Would you like to be called Monica the Padman?
I don't hate it.
Monica the.
It sounds very important.
It could be a rebrand.
It could. Maybe when I'm 40.
I'm going to call you Monica. What's your relationship with Smokey Bear? Was he part of your childhood? Was he a joke? Was he everywhere?
I have to be honest. He's
you don't give a shit.
Very,
he's
yeah, he's minimal. He doesn't play a big role in my childhood or life. I definitely heard of him and knew of him, Smokey the Bear, and knew it had to do with like
Smokey Bear.
What is the timeline? When did the come into play? When did the song happen?
The song happened in 52. So
well,
it's a
then,
long time.
Yeah,
it's been forever.
I mean, my whole life was the.
I think we can call him Smokey the Bear.
Okay.
There's a whole Reddit thread about this that even in like a movie in the 80s, they said Smokey the Bear says you can prevent forest fires.
It sounds so much better. They should change it. I'm going to.
Well, the reason them, is actually. Because it doesn't actually make sense. It's not that his last name is Bear,
it's not Mr. Bear.
Exactly. He just is a bear.
He is
He's
a bear.
He's named Smokey.
You're completely right. It makes no...
So Smokey Bear sounds like something they'd say in New Zealand wrong.
What? Rob, was he an icon for you growing up?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew a lot. We've had things in school about him, and we watched the videos.
What?
Because maybe we're in a more wooded area. It was more prominent.
Well, no, there's lots of trees in Georgia.
I mean, we need him here. I mean, walking around, because I walk up Griffith Park all the time, and there's a Smokey Bear cutout of him.
What?
And it's like, don't light a fire.
So I get this is maybe like Bader Meinhof. Now I'm going to start seeing him everywhere.
No, he is though. He's everywhere. If you start looking around for Smokey, he's always in the woods. He's always around, and
what?
I've seen a lot of him.
Does he have a monopoly on fire safety?
Yeah, he does.
In America.
And we get into that. He is the longest running PSA in American history. Yeah, he is kind of fascinating. I'm trying to think about other icons that we have. Like in New Zealand, I've talked about Harold the Giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
He's like an icon for health, sort of healthcare and sort of education.
Right.
We've got this dairy called Foursquare, and that's got this iconic man. We know him. Icons are such a funny thing.
These
characters that just are so
ubiquitous.
Yeah, they just get into your brain.
Well, we've talked about a lot of the serial mascots.
Yeah.
Tony the Tiger.
Wasn't there a Dare dog?
Oh, we had Dare, but I don't remember.
Was that the drug
program?
Oh,
there was a dog, but I don't remember his name or anything.
McGruff?
Oh, really? We had that Dare anti-drug program in New Zealand. I don't remember it coming with the dog.
I wonder, were they for profit, Dare?
I'm curious. Do you think in the back of your mind it was a bit, some sort of scam going on?
A little bit.
No, it's a non-profit.
It's a non-profit.
Okay. But it's still part of the war on drugs.
You always hear about, it definitely had that behind it.
Yeah.
So this is one of these episodes where I recorded this when I was recording the Roswell episode.
Okay.
Because I had a dad in Roswell and I was like, I've got to record another Flight of the Spirit. And I did some Googling and my friend Jess was like, the Smoky Bear Museum is near here.
Wow.
And so this is where this episode came from. So this is part one of the Smoky Bear documentary where we learn a little bit about the and the bear and some other exciting facts.
Now, young fellas, you've been having a lot of fun around here today, haven't you? Camping in the great outdoors.
This is probably the most confusing Flight of the Spirit episode I've ever made, because when you're dealing with something so iconic, so legendary, it's hard to know what's real and what's just legend.
I'm going to sing a song about someone who lives in the forest all the time.
Like, is it Smokey Bear or Smokey the Bear? In the iconic Eddie Arnold song from 1952, it's definitely Smokey the Bear, which is what I thought it was.
And now for my song. It's called Smokey the Bear.
With the ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear. Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air.
But apparently Eddie got it wrong. They added the so it would fit the rhythm of the song better. Officially, it's just Smokey Bear. And at its most simple, Smokey Bear is just a big ad campaign. A campaign to stop fire. An ad campaign that wasn't even meant to involve a bear.
Good morning, young friends!
When Bambi came out in 1942, the US Forest Service had just started its campaign to stop forest fires. And they wanted Bambi as their symbol. Walt Disney said, yes, we'll lend you Bambi, but only for a year. So when the year was up, the Forest Service needed a brand new icon. And so Harry Roswell, who worked for the Fire Service, sketched out Smokey, a brown bear who hated fires. There have been modifications and changes to Harry's idea, but since 1944, cartoon Smokey has been the face of wildlife prevention in America. Which is why I got very confused when someone told me that Smokey was a real bear who was buried in a grave in New Mexico. How could a cartoon be buried? Yet again, America had me bamboozled. Do you get a lot of bears around here in this particular area?
Yeah, North American black bear, and not so much here in the town, but up in the mountains, definitely. If you go to Ruidoso, it's not too far. They get elk, wild horses still in town, and occasional black bears.
I'd arrived in the tiny town of Capitan in New Mexico. It was in the middle of nowhere. Albuquerque was about 3 hours north, and the Mexican border was 3 hours south. I'd come in search of Smokey's alleged gravesite and had met up with a park ranger called Max.
Being American, you kind of know about Smokey, but a lot of people around the world know about Smokey, so he's really a popular icon. In fact, that's one of the reasons I became a park ranger was because of Smokey, and I found myself here after so many years.
Max has brought me to the Smokey Bear Historical Park here in Capitan. He's wearing jeans and a buttoned-up New Mexico Forestry Division shirt. So what sort of people do you get coming through?
All sorts. You guys from New Zealand, and we got people from Thailand that came earlier this summer. But all sorts, mostly in the summertime, we get more of the crowds.
Capitan is a tiny town. It covers about 3 square miles, and less than 1,500 people live here. And it's famous for Smokey Bear. Because it turns out while Smokey started as a cartoon, in what sounds like some kind of crazy magic, he ended up being a real bear too. Max tells me that back in 1950, a tiny bear cub was rescued from a fire here in the Capitan Mountains. And that cub was brought to the attention of the US Forest Service's PR people. Here was not only a real bear, but a cute cub. And not just a cute cub that had been rescued from an out-of-control fire. The Forest Service had found their secret weapon. their ultimate symbol.
What was it about this particular bear that sort of drew you into this world of, I guess, conservation and nature?
I guess just his story, being a cub and surviving such a horrific fire, and he's such a cute, cuddly bear, so you get behind that story. And then him with his ranger, iconic ranger hat. I always wanted to have a ranger hat like that with the National Park Service.
I noticed Max is wearing a hat today, but it's just an ordinary cap, not Smokey's round ranger hat. Apparently working as a ranger at the Smokey Museum doesn't get you Smokey's iconic hat after all.
We don't have the cool cap like the Park Service does, but I'm still a park ranger.
He takes me inside to the museum, which is basically a large log cabin. It's charming, and the history of Smokey is up on the walls all around us.
I was surprised to find out that Smokey Bear was a real bear. I had no idea about this.
Yes. In fact, he was found just 15 miles from the museum up in the Capitan Mountains in 1950. Ray Bell, the game warden that took care of him, of course, he knew the ad campaign of Smokey first. So he's like, well, we got a perfectly good bear to become the living symbol. We found him in a fire, so let's name him Smokey. He went to the U.S. Forest Service, who had the rights to Smokey.
A bear cub that had survived a forest fire? It was like all of the U.S. Forest Service's Christmases had come at once. This bear cub was both a symbol of the horrors of wildfire and a symbol of hope and survival. Max introduces me to his colleague, a huge Smokey fan.
I'm Wendy, and I tell the people about Smokey. During World War II, back in 1944, the campaign started, and they tried different cartoon characters like Bambi and stuff, and they didn't fit that. So when they found Smokey, they thought he would be the perfect icon and the living symbol for the fire prevention, since he was in a fire on the Capitan Mountains, and it burned over about 17,000 acres. But he was a lucky bear.
Yeah, he climbed a tree, and all four of his paws were burned, even on his backside. The adult animals know how to get away from a fire, so the mom left Smokey to his own devices, and then the fire crews found him clinging to a tree.
Ray Bell, a ranger from the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish, heard about the cub and took him in, before taking him direct to the Forest Service with the idea of the bear being some kind of mascot. The Forest Service were keen, and that's when the Ad Council came in, taking the story and spinning it into legend. The Ad Council is this other very American thing, starting its life as pure American propaganda. Back in the 40s, it was called the Wartime Advertising Council, existing purely to drum up support for the war effort in World War II. They made ads to get Americans to enlist in the army and buy war bonds. How did they come to work on the Smokey campaign? Well, during World War II, there was this big fear about an invading Japanese army setting parts of America on fire, using missiles launched from submarines, or by sending fiery balloons up into American airspace, so-called balloon bombs. So the Wartime Advertising Council had to alert Americans to this danger, coming up with slogans like "Forest fires aid the enemy," and "Our carelessness, their secret weapon." More recently, the Ad Council recognized that parts of their campaign were pretty racist, stoking paranoia of non-white Americans and foreigners, and illustrating Japanese people in pretty disparaging ways. But yeah, scared of Japanese fires, the Ad Council ended up repping this bear cub and attaching him to the existing Smokey Bear campaign. And their message of keeping an eye out for fires has become the longest-running PSA in America's history. Smokey is now a giant blow-up bear in the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And it seems nearly every time Smokey has a birthday, America really puts in an effort to do something special.
Hello, Smokey Bear, and happy birthday. I'm Joe Acaba, Expedition 32 flight engineer on the International Space Station. It is your 68th birthday, and what a journey it has been.
In 2012, NASA took a Smokey Bear toy into space and wished him happy birthday.
Thank you for all you do. I wish you all the best in your next 68 years of public service.
An astronaut holds the doll and lets it float in front of him in zero gravity as he thanks various American institutions responsible for this bear. It's sort of surreal in how specific he is.
And I would like to take this opportunity to recognize that you are managed by the U.S. Forest Service in cooperation with the National Association of State Foresters and the Ad Council, an organization that improves change and improves lives.
And back here on Earth, in the museum, the legend lives on.
He lived to be 26. Average age of a North American black bear is from 20 to 25 years old. So he lived past that 26, and he actually got to retire as a federal employee before he died.
And what does that mean? That's like an official thing that the state puts on him?
Since he was a fire prevention bear for the U.S. Forest Service, he was basically a federal employee in Washington, D.C., in the zoo. So then when he got old enough, they retired him, and he actually got like a pension and everything.
Smokey spent most of his life at the National Zoo in Washington, 26 years of it. Despite the fact that bears can't read, he got 13,000 letters a month and was visited by millions. I'm not sure a zoo is the best life for a bear, but it's probably better than being burned alive after your mother abandons you. Smokey mostly ate bluefish and trout, and he loved peanut butter.
And then when he passed, they moved him from Washington back to his hometown to be buried. That's how he is in our backyard right now, buried.
Smokey, dead and buried. One could only dream of getting this sort of treatment in death. Most of us are forgotten after about a week. This bear lives on.
He is more famous than the president was back then. He had his own zip code.
Yep.
And he got more letters than the president did.
I checked, and they weren't bullshitting. The dead bear zip code is 20252. The only Americans to have their own private zip code, the current president, and Smokey. Smokey Bear. Just another very normal American story.
So, did you have
That's
any idea about any of
this? Incredible. I did not.
Yeah, they take Smokey so seriously here.
Yeah.
Own zip code along with the current president. And also just things like that NASA video is so unusual to watch because it's like a NASA astronaut up there with a little Smokey Bear toy giving this speech, almost like there's a gun to his head, where he's name dropping all the people involved in the creation of Smokey. And then I went on to the Smokey Bear website because it's so ingrained in America's culture and because it's such a big touchstone. There's so many rules about how you can use his image and what you can use him for. And there's instructions on if you've got a Smokey Bear outfit, how to wear it properly. If you're a park ranger, how to talk about him. He's almost treated like this religious icon or something.
Wow. I had no idea about so much of this. It started off as a sad story.
Well, yeah, the fact that his mom just bailed.
Abandoned.
And left the cub up a tree. His little paws burned.
It's
that's really sad. Great they rescued him. That's a great thing. But yeah, incredibly sad. I mean, how do you feel if your mom just left you up a tree to burn?
I would be mad at her.
Horrific. I always panic about what I'll do with a friend if there's like a dangerous situation, if I'll be a hero or panic and run off. If we were walking up Griffith Park, Monica, yeah. You and I, and a forest fire was moving in, and you climbed a little tree to get off the ground, and I just ran, you know? I worry that I would do that.
I think you would.
It's like I am down deep, sort of a coward. I know this because there's ever been threats of violence kind of around my friends, I notice myself starting to freeze. So I'm worried I'm in that mode.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be very protective. So I think I would be potentially like Smokey the Bear's mom.
My friend Anthony, shout out, the same Anthony from Synced. We went to Cannes together in college, Cannes Film Festival, as a study abroad. And he's going to be very mad that I am telling this story because it's one of his biggest regrets.
Mm.
And he listens to this.
And he does listen to this. He doesn't listen to Synced. It's the only show he doesn't listen to. And we got in a big point of contention. So we were at this fancy hotel where all like a bunch of celebrities stay. And our director is like, after the premieres and stuff, you can go to the hotels and walk around and see who you see.
Oh, bump into some people.
Exactly. So him and I went up the elevator, we just like went as high up as we could go, like
go to the top.
Highest level. And there was no, you
that's
know,
a good
often,
technique.
Yeah, just see what you see.
You need a swipe usually to get up there,
exactly,
don't you?
But no swipe.
Oh my God, and on the loose.
We stepped out and we're just walking down the hall, and then there are two security guards.
Oh.
And okay, like who cares? Anthony panics. Full on
he knew he had
panics.
Done a crime by going to this level of the hotel.
Yes, and starts sprinting.
Oh, he runs.
Yeah, he starts running, and then I start running because...
Wait, what was his mentality? Was he was worried he was on the wrong floor?
We have to call him.
This is so interesting. I understand the mindset. If you're feeling like you're not meant to be somewhere.
Right.
You but can sometimes
why run like that. I mean, now he wouldn't. Mm. We were in college, but still, we were both like kind of running down the stairs and he pushed me out of the way and then kept running and ran outside.
Oh, this is incredible.
You didn't just run to the elevator and go back down?
No, then we'd have to wait at the elevator. The whole point is to get out of there.
No, I mean, I feel I'm worried I am that person in times of stress.
I kind of get that vibe from you.
You know, talk a big game, but when it comes to the crunch, I'm pushing you aside.
Yeah, if there's
I'm
a
leaving
snake.
You up that tree.
Okay, oh let's call him. It's his birthday.
Groundhog's Day. Andy and Elizabeth's anniversary and Anthony's birthday.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a lot. Lots of phone calls today.
I'm worried about
the
school.
Happy Groundhog's Day.
Are you recording again?
Yes!
No.
But we're recording Flightless Bird, a show you like and listen to.
Was I just such a fan favorite? You guys just bring me back.
Yeah, exactly. Also, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
And happy Groundhog's Day.
Thank you. I don't hear anyone else wishing me happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. That's so kind. Thank you.
You're going to love what I'm about to ask you about today.
Oh, God.
Anthony, what was actually happening in your brain when you ran from the security guards and pushed me down the stairs?
But absolutely like, not.
Yeah, I just need to know, because the reason we're talking about this is David is essentially saying he thinks he would do that too.
David, I don't think we've ever met. You would definitely do that.
Right? I know. I get that vibe as well. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of what's happening in the brain. So the security people would have just said, like, you guys can't be up here. And we would have said, okay. Like, why the run?
I don't know what you're talking about. But
if I did. Okay.
It would be because it's just, I'm about to get in trouble. That's all it was. It was like, we are breaking a rule, which we weren't even really breaking any
exactly.
rule.
That's
hypothetically. But yes, I think for me, it's just like, do not get in trouble. Do you relate to that at all, David?
Oh, absolutely. I get anxious about things and I go to worst case scenario.
Yes, exactly.
But then you create the worst case scenario.
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. Okay. I mean, I remember even on that trip, I don't know how it came up, but someone said, we're talking about how we see ourselves or something. I was like, in my head, I'm a person silent in the back corner of the room and no one notices. Uh-huh. And then a friend was like, that is not what's happening.
So, you take up so much
can
space.
Can we talk about the Monica push?
Yeah, let's talk about it. What are your questions?
Just you kind of seeing Monica there and giving her a little shove out of the way.
I do not want this. Listen. It was more just like, keep going, Monica. You're not going fast enough. You got to keep going.
That's some nice revisionist history for you.
I did write it all down somewhere. I don't know where it is, but like I wrote down the account.
You did? That day? Mm-hmm. Like it fresh?
Diaried it.
Yeah. I kept like a blog or something about while I was gone.
Oh my God.
I love it. Thank you.
Well, Anthony is now the father of three. He's grown up. He's not pushing people down the stairs.
I'm a good person now, people.
He's a pretty good person. He's not a feminist, but it is his birthday. So
I really don't know how I became a character in all of this. I'm going to stop answering your calls.
Because you're not someone who stands in the corner. That's just the truth. All right. Well, thanks for chatting.
Hey, shout out to my sister-in-law, Lisa. She loves Silas Bird.
Oh, great. Aww. Shout out.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, good
bye.
Luck, everyone.
Bye. Stay tuned for more Flightless Bird. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Flightless Bird is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we were talking about this before, Monica. We're both incredibly busy. There's too much going on.
I know.
And I sometimes do fantasize, if I had an extra hour in the day, like, what
would I do?
And I would say, go to a movie, but that's not long enough.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a good use of the hour. You're going to be annoyed because you have to walk out of that movie halfway through.
Exactly.
So the question is, if you had that
hour, what would you use it for? And the best way, I think, to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. And you can see where I'm going with this.
BetterHelp.
It fits into that hour schedule. I have been talking a lot, actually, about boundaries with my therapist, which apparently everyone knows about except me. So I'm learning about that.
They're hard.
They're really hard because we're people pleasers, but we also need to like protect our own brains and hearts. So boundaries is my current therapy topic.
Well, we love therapy over here, and we really think there's no downside to it. And BetterHelp is such an easy way because it's online. It's flexible, suited to your schedule. You can switch therapists if one isn't right for you, which is common.
That's always my panic. It's like, oh, I'm going to get locked into this thing.
Right.
You can change if you need to.
Exactly.
So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bird today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bird. This episode of Flightless Bird is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.com offers so many possibilities across the US for all the travelers you want to be.
Traveling's fun. I'm feeling antsy for some travel.
It hits you, doesn't it? And travel represents different things to different people. Some people can go far, some people... But even just traveling to a different state is amazing. Just
you get
getting
to do
out,
that for this show all
I
the
feel
time.
I feel incredibly lucky. And you want booking to be easy. And Booking.com gives you that.
Yeah, from relaxing beach resorts to remote cabins, so many places you can go. And on Booking.com, you can be wherever you want to.
I'm going to South by Southwest for the first time. And actually, all the official accommodation is crazy and gone. So I'm actually going to try Booking.com to do this because I need to find something and I need help with that stuff. Like, my brain isn't great. I need a website that makes it easy and simple and
logistics.
I can see logistics. So Booking.com will help me for that.
This spring, check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the US. Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
Did you used to have a thing when you're a student in America where you'd call up the radio station and get them to dedicate a song to someone?
Oh, that was...
Was that a thing?
I'm trying to think of, was it a real thing or was it just a rumor that you did
because
that?
Because in New Zealand, when I was maybe 15-ish, there was a real phase in my year where you would call up, I don't know, like the 8 p.m. radio show. Like, can you dedicate Mr. Bombastic to Ali or something?
And did you?
From David. I did a couple of times, but I remember being like on the call and sweating, so nervous. Because I get so many requests that yours don't always go through, but every night I'd call. But one time it went through and I just remember it was probably the most excited I've ever been in my life. And also scared.
Yeah, you were.
Like, what if Ali hears that? Like, what does that mean? Oh my God, she's heard it now. What's it going to be like at school tomorrow? Like, is she going to want to go out with me now? Like, what's going to happen? I did go out with her for a day.
After that?
And then she dumped me for Paul Hartley.
Oh.
Yeah, it was day though.
What song?
We didn't talk to each other on that day. It was just an agreement that we were going out.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a bit younger. Probably 17. No, I think it was maybe like 13-ish or something.
Okay, but what song did you request? Mr. Bombastic? Is that?
Shaggy. Yeah, you know this song.
I know Shaggy, but do I know
okay,
Mr.
Okay, just very quickly.
Yeah, we got to hear it.
Okay. Rest in peace, Shaggy.
He died?
He died, yeah.
Recently?
Fairly recently.
Oh, no. That is sad.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he's not dead?
No.
Oh, my God.
What? He's still alive?
Yeah, he's not dead.
I've got to get him for the show. I thought he was dead.
Why'd you think that?
I'm so happy.
Who
he's still alive.
Are you sure,
Rob? No, there's an article. Here's an article. Shaggy, I'm not dead.
It was a rumor?
I guess.
Yeah, it must have been. Okay, I'm not the only. He's not dead.
Wait, this is crazy.
This is a great day for me. Imagining like one of your heroes, you thought he's dead, he's alive.
This one says he died like 2 days ago. But this is one article.
Oh, wait.
Wait,
and
what
it's not
is...
listed anywhere else.
No, you cannot do this.
Hold on.
About 11 a.m.
No,
Eastern
you can't
time on Wednesday.
Take me on this roller coaster.
January 31st, our beloved singer Shaggy passed away.
Wait, are you kidding? How could that...
No way, this is...
isn't. I don't think this is real, though.
No, on Wikipedia, it doesn't say death day or anything.
Yeah, that's what I've...
So maybe he's one of these people, there are constant rumors. It's just one of those names where there's constant rumors that they passed away. Jeff Goldblum gets this. It'll be like Jeff's fallen off a cliff in Iceland or something.
What a weird life where everyone's just saying you died all the time.
Oh my God.
He's got an Instagram account.
He's 55.
Okay, so he's not dead.
No.
I don't think so.
I've hated this. This is...
Very what a stressful. Ride.
Yeah, you posted stories today. At the Grammys.
No. Oh, is it the Grammys?
Oh my God, what in
this
the
is depraved.
Fuck?
Okay, yeah. This is Mr. Bombastic.
Okay.
We order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover.
This was so big in New Zealand.
Mr. Lover, lover. Mr. Lover, lover.
Nothing, Monica?
It's not Mr. really lover, ringing lover. A bell.
I know this song.
Yeah. This was... Look, I can only talk to New Zealand. This was so big. And so to get that dedicated to Ali was such a big achievement. I was on the edge. It would have been like 97 or
wow.
something.
He's on tour in Australia right now. So...
I thought he was at the Grammys. Bit. What are you saying?
Pictures.
The information flowing in is hectic today.
I know. There's photos of him and some Grammy stuff. But he's also playing Melbourne tonight.
Okay.
18 hours ago.
All right.
Oh, I love this. I can't remember. Why are we talking about this?
Radio dedications.
Oh, radio dedications. Yeah. So actually, I would have assumed that you would have been too nervous to do something like that. And
I was nervous.
But you did it. So maybe you wouldn't push someone down the stairs or run if there's a fire for Shaggy.
Thank you.
For Shaggy, for Smokey Bear. Shaggy's on fire is the new headline.
Yeah, no, thanks, Monica. I honestly like to think, like we all would, that I'd react in a brave way to a situation, but I just always suspect that I am a bit of a coward.
Wait, this is actually so sim. So I was sleeping last night, and I was I think I was sleeping or half asleep or something.
Yeah, okay, you should be clear on that.
I know, but my sleep's weird.
It's important to the story.
I know, but...
Can we establish if you're asleep or awake?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
There's a chance I was sort of half waking up from sleep or... I have weird sleep, hence my seizures.
Yeah.
And so I heard a car and it sounded like a big screeching. It sounded like a crash.
Okay.
And I thought, oh no, I should go see. But it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, someone might need my help.
Yes.
There's a car on fire maybe. Maybe I can drag someone out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just like, what just happened? And then I just sat there for so long thinking, what do I do? No, I was laying still with my eyes closed. I was wondering, what's my responsibility in this life? Like, it got deep because it's the middle of the night and I'm a small girl in pajamas.
At what point are you required to leap into action?
Exactly. And I don't know what it was. Of course, if I see something going on, yes, I'll like call 911. But I then was like, I don't think I should go out in the middle of the night and go be all by myself dealing with this. But then I thought, well, should I just call 911 and say, I think I heard a crash?
Yeah, worst case
but
scenario.
What if I didn't?
You don't want to be driving in to record this podcast. You turn on the radio. They say a family of five burned to death
David.
Last night.
Because no one called the police.
No one called the police. No one did anything. That hasn't happened, by the way, Monica. It's okay. So I have a thing, and this is maybe a bit weird.
I've seen that on the news.
Stop.
Rob.
Steal his fire, kill his family.
Naughty today.
Also, fire is actually people would call more fast. Well, like
maybe not.
Yes, because if a car drove by and saw fire, you'd call. Yes. But if you didn't know.
Because people were sleeping and didn't wake up.
Shut up.
I have a thing, and this is maybe specific to me, and my brain can be annoying sometimes. I have a fear when I'm walking past a car and I see a car seat, my brain always imagines there's a baby in there.
Yeah.
There'll be a blanket in there, and there are always cars that have been parked. And so often, if you see me, and I walk a lot.
Yeah,
and so often you'll see me sometimes stop by a car staring in, and I've gone back to check that someone hasn't left a baby in there. I have this fear, just like you said, of suddenly hearing a report, a baby was left. Because in New Zealand, there was a string of this happening.
Oh, really?
Of people, you know, you forget your child is in the car. This happens. So ever since I've read those stories, I'm always worried. So I walk past a car, and if you're watching me, I'll turn around and go back and look in to check if there's a baby in there. But then one time I did it in LA and someone
sort of yelled at me because they thought I was casing out the car
exactly
to steal. And I was like trying to explain, I'm checking there's not a baby in there.
And then that does and sound
I sounded weird,
weird
as yeah. fuck.
But what'd you do if there was? Would you break the window?
I'd break the window. With a baby, I'd break one of the window. I think I'd break a window nearby. So we wouldn't want the glass to go on the baby.
Immediately?
I'd what if they're just like, oh, yeah, God.
Oh, no. I'd That's a really good question. No, I wouldn't. And this would go back to my how would I actually react in a situation. I think I'd wait. I'd see if the baby looked stressed out or sweaty. Mind you, babies, you can't tell, can you? Because they're
really.
Manipulative.
It's hard.
Maybe sleeping, cry, too.
Sleeping or dead. Hard to tell.
Fuck.
You know?
Well, you could. Oh, God. This
so
got
what do I
so
do?
Dark.
No, I would argue you can't leave a baby in a
You're not supposed
car
to ever.
Seat,
you're
ever.
Never supposed to.
So I think if you've done that and I have walked by, David Farrier's walked by and has smashed all your windows, I think that's just something
you have
to deal with.
And you're just
going to
hold the baby? Like, what do you...
I'd keep an eye on the baby because then it looks like I'm stealing the
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, you stole
right.
the baby. And then.
I think what you do, you just call 911 always. 911. Like, there's no reason to take action. Like,
unless the baby's super stressed.
Well, yes. If something bad is happening, of yeah. course. But if you... Maybe... I think I would just stand there for, like, 5 full minutes or 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if no one is coming back, then I call 911 and I say, like, there's a baby in this car. I've been standing and no adult has been in yeah. sight for 5 yeah. to 10 minutes. Can you please come?
Yeah.
Maybe check if it's unlocked before you break the window.
Don't break. Just call
That's a
the
good
police.
Idea. Luckily for me, there's never been a baby. I look in there and it's just an empty car seat with like a blanket or something in there.
Right.
But that's my fear. Like you had that fear last night. Yeah. Was it a crash? I'm always like, is there a baby in that car? And ever since that idea has been in my head, I've never been able to undo it. And
wow.
it's almost like a compulsion I have now.
That's
to
really
check for babies. I'm always checking for babies anywhere I am, looking for babies. I'm looking around here now. Is there a baby? Someone's left. I'm
oh
looking.
My
I can't
God.
See any. Anyway, it's just me. We've all got our things.
We do. But would you have gone out in the middle of the night if you thought you heard a crash? I also
No, I'd go back to sleep.
You would.
I think I would. It's disorientating as well because you're half out of it, you know?
Exactly.
It depends how big the bang was.
Yeah, and that it was like it didn't sound that loud. And then I heard other cars driving by. So I thought, okay, there's other people in the world who would see it. If it was bad
and would do something
would
that we're actually
something.
Out near it.
I know, but I know that's like a bad way to be. To
but then you
be
get
like
into
other
that whole
people
bystander
will handle
effect.
It. Yeah.
And all those people driving by are like one of those other people who
exactly.
do something about it.
Ugh.
Being human, it's tricky. What would Smokey Bear do? That's the question.
If it was on fire, Smokey Bear would
if there was a fire involved, he would be there immediately. No fire, he doesn't give a fuck.
Well, nope. Fire prevention. I don't think he has a
That's
fire
what I'm saying.
Extinguisher.
He'd be upset.
Oh, once it started, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
Well, he got burned
he
up,
panicked.
So
he
should run the
he
other
has
way.
Trauma as a reaction and just gets triggered.
Oh.
Mama. Okay. Here's part two of Deep Dive into Smokey. What do you think it is about this bear that has captured not only America's kind of imagination, but the world? I mean, from New Zealand, I knew about Smokey the Bear.
Well, probably his heartfelt story of surviving a fire and becoming this icon that was already in place, and then he became the living symbol of it. So it just all fell into place, I think, and made him a legend.
Are there any other icons in this part of the country that would come close to Smokey?
Billy the Kid.
He just said Billy the Kid, a.k.a. Henry McCarty, a.k.a. William H. Bonney, an American outlaw from the Old West who killed about 21 men before he himself was killed in 1881, aged 21.
William H. Bonney. He killed 21 men, and he was just a kid. Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid's appeared in countless films and books since, and he's the other American legend in these parts. But not the biggest legend, apparently.
If you go down 380, about 15 miles from here, that's where he escaped from his great escape, Billy the Kid. So, yeah, he's a legend, New Mexico legend too, but he's from New York. So Smokey's actually a native New Mexican, so he surpasses Billy the Kid. He's the most famous native New Mexican.
He didn't survive for long after escaping, right? Or did he get away for a while?
He did get away for a while, but then Pat Garrett caught up to him and shot him. And he did die at a young age, I think around 21. So Smokey lived longer than Billy the Kid, 26, and Billy, 21.
I guess the main difference was that America wanted Billy the Kid dead, while they desperately wanted to keep Smokey alive.
His adopted family treated the bear like royalty. Ranger Ray Bell, his wife and kids, had their own name for Smokey.
Smokey's nickname was Hotfoot Teddy.
Was he a friendly bear? Was he violent? What was the deal? Would he eat you if you got too close?
He really liked...
Judy Bell.
Who's
Judy Bell?
Judy Bell is Ray Bell's daughter. He liked Judy and her mother better than he did the guys because they bandaged him and stuff. And so he didn't like them, and he would always run and bite them and stuff and take off. And then he would play with their dog.
He was a wild animal. I mean, he would be dangerous as an adult, but as a little cub, you know, he got along with the ladies of the household and their pets.
I go and poke around the museum. There's a collection of posters and clippings and photos from ad campaigns. I noticed some photos of the Smokey hot air balloon, which had a headline-making crash back in 2004.
But he can't imagine what's about to happen.
There's Smokey out there.
Oh, he hit the tower!
Footage on YouTube shows the hot air balloon getting snagged on a radio tower, the kids and pilot stuck hundreds of meters in the air, a bit like Smokey up his tree. Everyone on the ground's worried they'll just get electrocuted up there.
Time's running out. The basket's weight is causing the balloon to tear even more. At any second, the three riders could come crashing down 600 feet to the ground.
Eventually, the three of them end up climbing out of the basket and down the tower. It takes them 2 hours. The balloon died that day, but Smokey, he lived on, invincible. There are now so many iterations of Smokey. There's a bear for everyone. Sometimes he looks sort of pathetic and small. Other places he looks sort of beat up. And then there's the cut, muscly, slightly sexual Smokey. Jeans, belts, bare chest. In a little cabinet, Wendy shows me what appear to be hundreds of Smokey bear artifacts.
There's Ray Bell's field binoculars that we finally got those in here.
Do you have a favorite Smokey bear item?
I do.
Like, if there was this horrible thing to say, but if there was a fire here, what would you rescue?
I would rescue these little booties, the little house slippers.
Little Smokey booties. This place has everything. So many things I'd forgotten why I'd come here in the first place. To visit Smokey Bear's grave. To pay tribute to America's greatest bear.
You should go out on our gardens, and that's where Smokey is buried, if you want to see his burial site. It's not a very long trail.
He had a coffin.
Yes, he had a coffin. There's a big boulder out back that has the plaque on it. Yeah, people drive by, and they're like, oh, we didn't realize you were here, and we didn't realize Smokey was a real bear. And I'm like, yes, he was a real bear.
I was the same. I'm one of those idiots that didn't even know that he was real.
Well, we don't call you guys idiots, so
we very just... kind.
And so this idiot goes out the back, onto a little path that leads to a very important grave.
So it's quite a long walk to the grave, but I can see an American flag flying, so that seems very appropriate for this American icon.
Turns out that was just the resting place of the Smokey Bear hot air balloon. I guess this is the build-up to the real bear. And as I walk on, I see it.
Yeah, this has got to be a Smokey Bear. And there's a carving out of wood of Smokey, little Smokey Bear clinging to a tree. This is the resting place of the first living Smokey Bear. In 1950, when Smokey was a tiny cub, wildfire burned his forest home. After 25 years, he was replaced by another orphaned black bear. Oh, he's replaced. Let's replace him with another bear.
Smokey Bear, replaced. As we all are at some point, I suppose. And here's his final resting place. While he was alive, they'd tried to get Smokey to procreate with another bear, Goldie Bear. But no dice. Maybe he was still too traumatized from the fire. Instead, they gave Smokey an orphan cub, a fake son, and that ended up being the next Smokey. And so it goes on. Smokey Bear, the perfect American commercial, the longest-running PSA birthed from World War II, the bear that outlived Billy the Kid and became known to hundreds of millions of people all over America, all over the planet. A cartoon who came to life to remind Americans that fire can be very bad. And we, like Smokey, should try and avoid being burnt to death. Or burning anything else to death, for that matter.
Any parting words to the world about Smokey Bear? Any other fun facts, messages you'd like to get out there into the world?
Just come to Capitan, New Mexico and visit the park and you can pay your respects to Smokey at his burial site.
I love those two because they genuinely were so pumped about the bear.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
It is a sweet story, and there are lots of surprises in there, like the fact they tried to breed him, but he wasn't having it, didn't care.
I like that. He's like, I don't consent. Don't force me.
Don't force me to marry Goldie Bear. That's not the bear for me.
He didn't want an arranged marriage.
And he didn't care about his legacy enough.
Didn't care about the legacy at all.
No ego.
Also, I do the imagery, just from a graphic perspective, the imagery of Smokey changes so much. I mean, maybe that's where bear culture came from in like the gay world, because he's in ripped tight jeans. He's got a bulge.
Wait,
he's
got a big Smokey ripped... is the...
I think he might be the origin of that particular part of gay culture. Because he's got his big bear chest, or whoever designed that version of Smokey was definitely referencing gay culture, because he's clearly just a ripped gay bear. It's kind of amazing. And in other places, he looks more meek. In other places, he's more of a cartoon character. The imagery is just so specific and fascinating to me.
Wow.
Plus, he was a real bear that you can go and visit his gravesite.
That, I will say, I also didn't know. I thought he was sort of just a character.
He's a little bear.
He's a little guy.
Yeah, little burnt little paws. Oh. Mum left him behind.
Wow, what an American story.
Has his own zip code.
I love that for him. This was really fun. It was kind of heavy on the death.
A lot of death. But I mean, that's the thing,
part of
right?
life.
That's part of life. And also fire. That's why we need to watch out for fire.
Wow,
as an American, watch out when you're lighting those fires out there in the forest.
Yeah.
What would Smokey do?
I left a candle on recently.
Oh, that's the thing I have a phobia of, leaving the house.
Yes, me
is
too.
The candle thing.
And then when it came true,
yeah,
that does not help.
How
the
many
fear.
Candles do you burn in your house? Do you have a few going at once?
No, I normally just do one, sometimes two, depending on if I've made a chicken or a bolognese, and
what
the whole house, it smells like food.
Do you have a scented candle, or do you burn some sort of oil or something?
No, I'd have candles. Okay. I don't do oils or
what
incense.
Flavor?
Oh, I have so many kinds. I love candles. I love a nice candle.
That's a good present for a Monica the Padman.
It is. Okay. Well, this is fun. Thank you for teaching us about Smokey Bear.
Of course. If you're ever in New Mexico, look up the Smokey Museum. It's a really cute town. The rangers there are so kind, and they're so lovely, and they're just there to educate you about Smokey, but also just educating you about bears in the wild and how we need to protect them. So, big fan.
All right. Well, like 2 or 3% more American.
Thank you. I think you too. I think we both became more American in understanding Smokey. Smokey Bear.
Smokey Bear.
Never Smokey that bear. Okay.
Bye.